This is the FC Profession Series podcast, a monthly discussion of news relevant to the U.S. Army Finance Corps worldwide, abridged from the FC Profession Series webcast. Here's your host, Sahib Singh.
For the past couple of months, we have been, doing different things in it for initiative, so have not really been having the segments, but what a better way to come back and bring up a great topic that we're going to discuss today, which is going to be premised on GM voicing. And our guests today are going to be Mr. Matt Tugnelary, Taylor Buffington, and Mr. Adam Perro.
So thanks, I'm Matthew Tugnelary. I'm currently the Director of Business Transformation within the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Financial Management and Comptroller. A long way to say the CFO's Office of the Army.
Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, wherever you're coming from. My name is Taylor Buffington. I am the program manager of the GM Voicing Program at Thompson Gray. I support the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Financial Management and Comptroller, Mr. Matt Tugnelary, for the GM Voicing Program.
I'm Adam Perro. I have and served for 21 years in the military, 4 years in the Marine Corps, and then I spent the remainder of my time in the Army, retiring in 2016.
So we're going to talk GM voicing, right? And I mean, first things first, just can you explain what GM voicing is and right? And then its, primary purpose within the federal financial management process.
Yep. Thanks, Singh. I'll go ahead and take that. Now I'll probably hand it over to Adam and Taylor to kind of jump in as needed. So I'm sure everybody's like, hey, what is GM voicing? Who cares? So right now, most of you do everything, as I kind of look over to my phone and my tablet all the time, through an app, right? Everything's done through your phone, through your computer. I mean, heck, less computer, more phone these days, right? And so within the Army, we don't necessarily do that with everything and for everything. And so one of our modernization efforts that's required by the U.S. Treasury is something called government invoicing. And the idea is that the U.S. Treasury is implementing a system that will connect all buyers and sellers. So across the federal space, we buy and sell billions, actually trillions of dollars of goods from each other. So the Army will buy stuff from DLA, we'll buy boots, we'll request support from FEMA in emergencies. There are also all sorts of IT purchases we make from other organizations. All of those purchases and sales across the federal space are currently done manually. Like literally an old form PDF, I get my boss to sign it, we put it on an email and we send it over to another federal trading partner. This day and age, you can only imagine how much audit issues that causes and how backwards that really is. And so the main modernization effort rolled out by the US Treasury is to correct that buy-sell transactions, trillions of dollars we currently do manually. You can imagine the errors that causes, the headache, and then the lack of accountability and oversight that we can provide as a DA, Department of Army level, and across the federal space. So just to give you some context, in FY21, the Army purchased about $70.2 billion in goods from our federal trading partners and generated over $110 billion roughly in sales. So as you can see, the magnitude for Army doing a manual process is not something that's sustainable or realistic. So going to the future, the U.S. Treasury is requiring us to modernize and to modernize with all federal agencies across the federal government. So as I say that, I say it a little slower because it's quite a magnitude of a task for this team and then all the other federal agencies to implement. How do we interact with other federal agencies in an automated way when we're all, unfortunately have constraints on budget and other things that allow us only to modernize, but so fast for certain reasons. To us, it's the value of G-invoicing is why we're here, right? I mean, Treasury says you must implement it. So the United States Treasury is enforcing us to do this. So that is the number one compliance factor. But then there's also huge business value. And we're talking about automating a process that we do manually for billions of dollars.
G-invoicing of itself is a Treasury mandate and something we have to adhere to. So not the biggest reason why we're moving forward with this, but important that not only the Army is moving towards this, but everybody in the federal and DoD space. So it is, while we each have our priority listing and timeline of when we can accomplish it, we are all moving together towards this space, towards this end goal, which should be not only a great output for the Army, but for the rest of the DoD and the federal government. One of the great things about GN voicing is that it requires everybody to adhere to these data standards called the Federal Intragovernmental Data Standards. And so when you talk about all of the different agencies who are going through this process and all of the systems that they're on, you're talking about, you know, your familiar SAP systems, Oracle systems, homegrown systems, who all have different jargon or naming conventions that don't match. And that's hard to not only learn our own processes, especially if we're new to this organization, the federal government accounting world, but learning somebody else's as well to try to deconflict that. And so in forcing us to move to this one system, this one standard, we get to talk the same language.
Someone had a question from the audience, right? And just to kind of sum up the question, really, you know, are there other stakeholders within HQDA that are being, like, you know, brought into this as we move forward towards the invoicing and the modernization process?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I'll go ahead and start off as well. So the integration of log and acquisition systems into the process, the benefit of using our main ERP, our accounting system of record, GFIBS, the General Fund Enterprise Business System, and connecting it to the US Treasury system, is that we will gain that exact benefit of having the connection and then bringing in the acquisition and logistics processes eventually as well. So we're currently involved with an OSD, the Office of Secretary of Defense Working Group, where we're looking at supply transactions, and specifically how do we bring in supply transactions into G-invoicing. So right now, the first tranche of G-invoicing is really focused mostly on service transactions. So when we buy and sell, let's say, training, non-goods and services, so mostly services, lawn cutting and things of that nature that we might provide at the garrison, that is a lot of what's going through G-invoicing initially. The second phase will bring in some more of the log and acquisition transactions into the fold. So bringing in some of the boots, fuel, ammo that we buy and sell every day across the federal government.
So the question from one of the audience members is, will G-invoicing connect, you know, to WAF and PI for, like, the cores and or the KO payments to contracting companies? And then the second part of that question is, will G-invoicing eventually have a good goods receipt and acceptance document or system evidence to support, you know, receipt of acceptance, you know, invoice to support what is billable?
Immediate answer is no to the connection with WAF. For today, WAF is used in the commercial space, and G-invoicing is particularly focused on the intergovernmental space. So we use WAF today for commercial vendors. You know, we hire, contract these vendors, and they put the receipts in through WAF. Is there an opportunity there to go out to WAF? And I believe we've been in contact with people over OSD who said that there's some kind of either module built or at least requirements documented saying that they have something that they could use to support the IGT section of this. So immediate answer is no, but there is an opportunity there that we're looking forward to. And, you know, and just full transparency about what G-invoicing is as a whole, it's definitely, I want to say, a crawl, walk, run situation right here that we're going through. It's not going to be a one and done thing. Like Matt mentioned, first approach is the more MIPR type transactions that we're doing right now. Next, we're looking at interfund through Mills bills. So it's definitely going to be a phased approach. And again, in full transparency, I don't think this initial release is going to immediately resolve the receipt and acceptance issue that currently we have as Army, but not only that, like across the DoD and federal space. I would like to say that it's probably not going to be immediate, and but the opportunity is there, and that is the direction we're trying to go toward.
What's the direction and or plan that you all have to, you know, implement this? you know, any form of training, you know, publications, you know, via like XOrds and stuff. That's another question that came in actually, you know, asking that, is there, you know, an entire process that kind of, you know, explains how this is going to be implemented?
So for the XOrd, it was distributed to all the organizations. As far as the training goes, our team has been concentrating specifically on user training probably for a good 3 months now, developing buyer-initiated training and seller-facilitated training. We've also developed a G-Invoicing 101 and 201 class, and these are going to be recorded and then available for everybody to research, go back through, and take. We've been pretty extensive with our training and how we've done it. And we've gone through step by step repeatedly over and over to verify that the system is going to work the way that it's supposed to. And our PowerPoints that we've created to do this as such will become what I think will be a very powerful tool for the users when they begin this new process inside of G-Invoicing.
Early on when this team was established a G-Invoicing command call. We're always amenable to feedback. We'd love to hear from the commands on how we can provide more guidance, more outreach in order to make sure everybody's tracking and we do this one army, one mission, helping each other along through this process.
A question that came in actually was in reference to the MIPRs. I'll let you know what it is and if you can elaborate on that some more. So they said, can you please explain how MIPRs are going to be done through GFIBs and G-Invoicing? And this is, I guess, they're taking as like two separate entities, right? And then they say, once we receive the new MIPR that needs a WBS and sales order set up, will that MIPR information be needed to put in both systems? Also, how will amendments be processed?
I'll take the MIPR, which is a military interdepartment purchase request. And so what that really is a buy-sell transaction. You're buying something from your federal trading partner, another federal agency. That's a MIPR today. Tomorrow, that'll be replaced by a 7600 Bravo, which is the order form. So you're going from a MIPR today to a 7600 Bravo in the future. So as you, if you're a current ERP user within the Army, so if you're using either GFIBS or LMP, you will create your order a very similar fashion as you had done on a MIPR in the same system, in the same transaction code, just using a different document type. That document type will then replace your old MIPR 448-2 document, which is a DD form, with a Treasury form, FS7600 Bravo. For GFIBS, that go live date will be after November of this coming fiscal year or this calendar year. And for LMP, Logistics Modernization Program, they are currently live as long as the other side of that transaction is live.
It does start with there, and then we have our order. So when we talk about the newness of GFIBS and LMP and what to expect, a lot of it will be the same. Some of it will be different too. And I think the newest, biggest thing that's going to be is this the extension, kind of was what I call it, of GFIBS. So today, if you're a GFIBS user, you understand there's an ECC tab, there's a BI tab, there's a GRC tab if you are a GRC governance, risk and compliance supervisor, approver, or so on and so forth. And so now there'll be this new tab in GFIBS called G-Invoicing. And what that is that side, if you see the buyer ERP box and you see a line down the middle, the items on the right, it's labeled Hub. You'll hear various different names for it, Hub, Fiori. And what that is like an extension, a middleware of, in order to get your document, your order out of GFIBS, it needs to first go to the hub, right? And from there is the connection, the almost instantaneous correct connection to Treasury to for them to pull that document over, verify the information, do those checks and balances, make sure we're talking in that same language and send it over to the trading partner. And just as the way it went out, it's the same way it'll come back in. So once their trading partner has done something on their side, it'll go to Treasury and then come back into the hub. And then that's probably going to be the biggest change that people are going to have to learn, adapt, get used to, is that extension going there, monitoring it, we had a really short timeline by Treasury to meet this mandate. And their advice to us, well, if you can't meet it, use our user interface and do double entry. And Army leadership was like, absolutely not. We're not going to do that. We are moving forward, making progress. We will get there, but we need time to get there. And so we're going to wait until that point that we are. And so I think through that advocacy of Army leadership, we got to avoid that hump in the road and the stress and maintenance that would have taken on all of our budget analysts. But from there, with any major implementation, it definitely, we don't imagine it taking more work than it does today to process these transactions, but there's a natural learning curve to anything new to you. Go to a new job, go on a new system, things like that. So I know change is hard and change is rough and it's not fun. And I admit that myself going through some, you know, changes I've had in my career. But once we get through that, do it as a team, get through it together, I think you will see the benefits of that.
So they're saying, hey, can you explain the responsibility of the final approver in G-invoicing? And if there are any rank requirements, many consider G-invoicing a budgetary requirement for budget analysts and comptroller signatures.
That's a great question. It does start out with, as far as automating and the number of folks involved, DFAS will have a minimal role in this process as things go well. As things don't go well, we will need them to do research as they do today. But long are the days, you know, that's gone, are the days we're going to have DFAS inputting transactions right into DCAS and other systems to try to make these settlements happen. All transactions have to go through either the buyer or seller's ERP and be initiated there. So someone asked about modifications earlier. Modifications will work very similar. The automation eliminates the L5. And the reason that is because the FMR and the Economy Act are very clear in the fact that the acceptance of an order by the seller, so when the seller accepts your order and says, yes, we can fulfill that, that creates a legal obligation for the buyer.
This conversation was great. I went by real fast, right? But I do want to give you at least a minute or so for any final comments that you have. So we'll start with you, Matt.
Yeah, seeing I appreciate that. I do appreciate you all joining and listening to G-invoicing. But I really want to call all those Army end users, Army leadership, DoD trading partners out there that are listening. I really want to call you to action. We need you involved. We have a monthly command call, but at your local level, you are doing these transactions on a daily basis. We need you all to be engaged and ask those tough questions. If we don't find out now, we're only going to make mistakes in the future. So please get involved. And that's all I have. And appreciate everyone's time today.
Thank you all for tuning in. Wish you a safe day and a blessed weekend to support and serve. Take care.
If you would like to see the full-length video of this presentation, simply follow the Divids link in the description.